It's time for slam.
Be back. Welcome to another episode of the Highline Podcast. On the Highline Podcast on Comunicado Oficial Sports Network. As you can hear in the background, Funto is excited because Oli has been sacked and United have signed to Ralf Rangnick, but we'll get into that later. I have two totally different guests with me this week. It's not Emeka and Chaps, neither is it Funto. I've known these guys pretty much since I've been 5 years old. I've known Chibuchi since I was 5 years old. We've went to primary school together. We've seen everything as Arsenal fans together. Trust me. Went to the same secondary school. So every single humiliation we could have faced, we faced together. And we've been there.
I saw you a Chelsea fan when I met you as well.
No. Don't ever bring that up in your life. Where we've been through every humiliation we possibly could together. The 5-1s against Bayern Munich, man. It's good to have you on the show. Thank you for coming, man. I was going to say if you went to when Arsenal won the Prem, but you know, you might as well.
I'm going to be really old then. Hopefully, I haven't got grandkids as well.
And then, second of all, I've known this guy since I was born, pretty much. You know, he's been a thorn in my side ever since I've known him, because he supported two clubs that I hate the most in Barcelona and Man United. Welcome to the show, Chris. It's good to have you, man. It's good to have you. All right. So quickly, we're just going to do we have a lot to get into today, but we're going to start with the round off of the weekend results. And where better to start at the biggest game of the weekend, Chelsea versus Man United. I think it's fair to say going into this game, we all thought, you know, Chelsea was going to wipe the floor with them easily. And when I saw the lineup and I saw Ronaldo wasn't starting, I was like, that is a bold move from Michael Carrick. That is extremely bold. But you can say it did pay off. So even though Chelsea absolutely battered them, it looked like it was a walk in the park and they never went out of gear one. I feel like they just didn't take their chances, and that's why it ended up 1-1. Fair play to United. The game plan worked to full effect. They sat back. They contained all the pressure. They waited for the one mistake. I don't know if you guys noticed, but when the ball was in the air, even before Jorginho had controlled it, Sancho and Rashford were sprinting at him because they knew that one person that would make a mistake in that Chelsea team, it's Jorginho. Even though he releases the ball quick and all that, if you put him under pressure, he can make a mistake. And that is exactly what happened, you know.
I think that's really smart individual thinking rather than a team performance. I don't think United are a team. And I don't think they're anything close to a team. Especially you watched the game on Sunday, they were clinging to life.
Yeah, they were.
It was basically a boxing match, and they just didn't get knocked out. That was basically what the fight was. They were very lucky to get away with a point. And personally, I think as a team, especially as United, I'd rather stay there and lose that game and see my teams go make it getting through a system. There was no system. They just went there. Let's see if we can get a point and let's leave.
Yeah, but even before I get into that, but the goal from Sancho was amazing. Like a lot of people didn't notice the dummy, like it was about to pass to Rashford, and then he just slid it in past Edouard Mendy. But it was a great.
Did you see Rashford's run for that goal?
Terrible run. Rashford is quick, bro. Rashford is.
He was quick, but did you see the run? It was terrible because if you see the run, he was running towards Sancho.
He made
the angle so tight.
I didn't see that.
He made the angle so tight. He should have gone a bit wide. He made the angle so tight.
Yeah.
That's why Sancho had to take it himself. I'm pretty sure Sancho had passed it in for him, but he made the angle so tight. It was a terrible run.
Yeah, but it was both quick. Great finish from Sancho. Great thinking. But to your point, I feel like it's times like this where you just have to stick. Like, you don't necessarily have to go out there and try to go head toe-to-toe with Chelsea, because Chelsea are the best team in the league. Because think about it from United's point of view, not just the structure or anything. If United had lost that game and then they lose to Arsenal on Thursday, we'll get into that later, they'll be 9 points behind us.
They could have easily lost that game.
Yeah, but I mean, they didn't. So you can say the game plan worked. They sat back. They contained all the pressure. Even though Chelsea could have, Tottenham should have scored. Ziyech should have scored. Werner should have scored. Rudiger should have definitely scored.
Wasn't the attempts like 15-3 or something, or 20-3?
The corners were like 15-2.
The stats were ridiculous. Chelsea had 24 shots to Man United's 3. They had 799 touches to Man United's 517, 586 passes to United's 31. They had 6 clearances to United's 38. So you can see how much they sat back, soaked all the pressure. They had 15 corners, United had 2. And Chelsea had 65% of the possession. So that game
is absolutely it's ridiculous. I don't care if United say they're going there. I honestly don't care. It looks like Man City versus Plymouth. It's a terrible statistic. Terrible statistics. I don't care if you're saying we come there to get a point. It's just terrible.
I don't think
Chelsea can't do that to. How many Premier League teams can Chelsea actually do that to? It's terrible. It's terrible statistics. They were just lucky that Chelsea didn't score.
I totally understand that. But at this point, United are in the zone where they have to take anything they can get right now. Because you don't want to.
I don't see, there's no point in having all the boy if you don't win the game. The goal is to win the game, right? And you didn't win the game. So,
Chelsea did everything.
Don't get me wrong.
They did everything but win. That's true.
The match, obviously Chelsea dominated and whatnot, but they didn't win the game. And that's what Man U wanted. Yeah. Man U knew going into that game, there's no way we're winning this. There's no way. That's why he benched Ronaldo. Because if you expect the game, you expect to score goals, right?
And if you're
benching your goal scorer, then you do. So they just wanted the point from the game.
Because if you think about it, if United were to go to, because I know they both went, another smart thing Carrick did was to go, I think they went 3 at the back as well. Oh, no, they didn't. But he went toe-to-toe with, he didn't go toe-to-toe with Chelsea, but he sat back, everyone in a low block. Chelsea have found it really hard to break down some low block teams. Like against Newcastle, it took them, 65, 70 minutes before Rich James finally scored that goal. So, Man United are not going to be sitting back for the rest of the season. But at this point in time, going into that game with no coach, I just in their mindset was just judging by what had happened against Man City and Liverpool. I believe the mindset for United was just, let's go into this game. We sit back, we soak up all the pressure, we hit them on the counter. It worked, A lot of people, if you look at the stats, even though United were winning the game 1-0 for about 10, 15, 20 minutes until Wan-Bissaka's penalty. Let's even get it. Did you guys think it was a penalty?
Yeah, it was definitely a penalty.
Yeah, it was soft, but it was definitely.
Try to tell you something though. We would have won that game if not for that penalty.
Chelsea wouldn't have scored if not for that penalty.
But the thing about that is Chelsea wouldn't have scored. That's very true. But Chelsea wouldn't have scored not because of Man United. It's not because of Man United they wouldn't have scored. It's because of Chelsea.
All from last season.
It's because of Chelsea.
They didn't create so much chances. That's why they're able to win games because they are not. I know I call Chelsea an efficient team, but that's just they're very good defensively. And going forward, they make up for it. But they create hella chances and they don't score. At some point last season, their conversion rate was about 14%. And you also have to take into context, Timo Werner is not as clinical as he was in Leipzig. They brought in Lukaku to be clinical. And he's not, he hit the ground running against Arsenal. But it's been very subpar since then, except that game against Aston Villa.
He's been injured to be fair. So.
Exactly, and he's been injured. But what I would say is, Fred did play very well that game. Like United fans always murdering McFred, McFred.
Yeah, for some reason,
Fred had an amazing game.
He did quite well to be fair. Apart from his finish at the end,
that brain freeze was unbelievable. I don't know why he chipped that. But I mean, it is what it is.
I've been in that position before. You just so many things in your mind, and you're caught between two minds to shoot, to pass, to chip. Then you just decide to do something. You just didn't make sure of all three.
One thing I've noticed is, I feel like the major problem with Fred is because of how deep of a role United have been playing him in, and I don't think he's that deep line playmaker that Ole thought he was. So majority of the time, he tends to lose the ball in critical positions against United. And then, like you saw the goal against Leicester that he conceded in the FA Cup semi-final last season. It was because they were trying to play out the back with Fred. And I don't think, I mean, you look at midfielders like Rodri, they barely get caught out in that position. Partey, I know he hasn't been up to the levels he was in Atletico, but you barely see that kind of thing happen. So that's, I feel like if you move Fred further up the pitch, maybe because Fred is very aggressive and he's got what's it called stamina, so he can press for days. So I feel like we need to separate Mick Fred, because the Mick part of the Fred situation is absolutely terrible. Like McTominay cannot play football at all.
He's a solid
that's
player.
That's why I won't pick them up. They're both not creative. So
I mean,
the thing is, you can't move Fred forward because who are you gonna replace?
But if you think about it, with the new coach that's coming in, Ralf Rangnick, because you know, let's get into that now.
That's the thing with new coaches though. They could change a player's life.
Yeah,
they can just change.
Fred is, but you,
they
you
can change
at,
his role.
Because you look at Liverpool's midfield and you're thinking, who in there is the creative player? Except of course Thiago, and oh my god. Well, like except Thiago, there's not necessarily any creative player in that midfield. But the whole point of that midfield is the press to suffocate people that are playing out from the back, because pretty much every big six team tries to play out of the back. Some do it way better than others.
You can't say Liverpool though, because they have players like Arnold coming from the back also to create chances.
Yeah, yes, but Luke Shaw did create the most chances from fullback position last season. So there's still a player in him.
Yeah, there's a thing with like teams like Liverpool and Man City. I don't think it depends on the individual player anymore. It depends on, they have such a system where
exactly.
I can slot in Liverpool's midfield and I can have at least a good, respectable number of assists in a season. Just because I'm telling you, because of they play a very good system. It's such a system. And when you take a player out and you put a different player in, they just play really well.
And then
they know their role.
Couple that
role
with Anfield as well. You look at Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, he's looked like he's been a dead player ever since his ACL injury. Comes in against Arsenal at Anfield and just does the job he's expected to do. Like, the role is so outlined.
Because they know someone's going
to
be there.
The role is so outlined that for you to play badly, you have to try to play badly in that system. That's
like
what
they
I think
know what
it
they're
is.
Supposed to do.
And why I say that, then I bring in Ralf Rangnick into that situation because he's the godfather of German football, you know, the initiator of German pressing and all that. So I feel like he can definitely change, because Henderson was not a player that you saw as that could contain it, that could play in a high press situation until Klopp came in. So he can definitely do that to Fred. But I think one person who's going to lose in the situation where Rangnick comes in is Bruno, because Bruno does a lot of careless things with the ball when they don't come off, brilliant things when they do come off. And I feel like it's either, because Bruno does maintain the press, like Bruno is has one of the highest work rates, not just in Man United, but in the league as well. But he needs to cut majority of those. I feel like Rangnick will need him to cut majority of those things he tries out of his game. And another thing about Bruno, he has to be tabled now. He doesn't perform in big games. Like, he's been in Man United for almost 2 years now. And he's barely had any big game except I think the Chelsea game where they won 2-0, where they had just signed him. He hasn't really shown up in majority of the big games they've had.
Yeah, no, I do see your point. But I think with players like Bruno in the position he plays and what you expect him to do, it's evident he will lose possession.
Yes,
a lot of the time.
It's one too many
I think the player who loses useless possession is Pogba. That's the player they should be talking about. Like, use his position, the ball. The way Bruno plays and the kind of passes you expect him to make, I think it's very inevitable that he will lose possession.
Yeah. And honestly, I love Pogba. Like, you can't watch Paul Pogba play football and not like him. But the thing is,
he tries silly
things. Ever since
very
United have signed
Pogba, he makes a lot of mistakes.
United have tried to unlock Pogba ever since they've signed him. I've graduated 3 times and they still haven't unlocked him. They've been over and over again. It's always one problem or another. It's either, Pogba is not a pivot player. Pogba is not a deep player. Pogba is a left winger. There was one description that I saw him as a left wing central midfielder controlling type of player. And it's true, because United fans are willing to make...
That's the Liverpool statement for Firmino, isn't it?
United fans are willing to make any excuse for Pogba. If he's not performing well, and I'm like, you have to hold him to high standards, because I love Pogba, but let's be honest,
he's a decision that didn't work out.
I don't think he has matched the price tag. Even though he hasn't been bad, he hasn't been a flop, he hasn't been a bust or anything. He just hasn't matched the price tag.
For that price tag, he has been a flop. I'm sorry for that price tag. No. If he hasn't been a flop for that price tag, no one can tell me Pepe has been a flop.
I think the thing with Pogba is just he's been good in spells, not necessarily consistent. And you can't have that.
Yeah, but for 98 million, you have to be consistent. I'm very sorry, but you have to be consistent. Everyone knows you have talent. Everyone knows you have talent.
I hear that.
That's 100%.
Why we keep backing people. That's why you never see me back Fred up because. I don't see moving forward,
United are very exciting. You know, Sancho seems like he's finally coming into his own. The jokes were fun while they lasted, but we all knew he was gonna become the player. I feel like another person that could lose with this guy coming in, Ragnick, is Aaron Wan-Bissaka. I feel like there's no place for him under Ralph Ragnick.
Bissaka, who are they gonna replace him with?
I don't know, but they need a fullback who can affect attacking positions more than Wan-Bissaka does.
I mean, but like you said, the managers can change players, right?
I don't think you can change Wan-Bissaka. I'm really sorry about that.
Why not?
I'm really sorry about that. When I watch Wan-Bissaka, it's the eye test. It's the eye test, bro. Wan-Bissaka doesn't look like you look at the technical ability on a Trent, on a Rhys James, on a Cancelo. Wan-Bissaka doesn't have that. Like, you don't
need to
bring that out of him.
When he goes forward, he looks very unstable on the ball.
Exactly.
He looks very unstable on the ball. He looks like, you know, a little push and he's off possession quickly.
Hundo said he plays football like he's dancing.
going forward, he's bang on average. If that going forward, he play for like a relegation friend team like going forward. Well, no, realistically, but defensively, his tackles are really good.
They're really good.
Tackles really well. And to be honest, I think it would be smart for Man United to get a different fullback.
Me too.
Different right back.
And going forward, Man United are going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Did you see him against Man City? Wan-Bissaka.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't know whether it's just Wan-Bissaka or it's the system that they were playing in, but I'm saying 1v1 Wan-Bissaka is amazing, but he can be broken down by a system. You saw when Cancelo and Foden doubled up on him, he was completely useless, even though, to be fair to him, he had no help from the winger on his side.
Well, do you know there was a lot of decision-making errors from Wan-Bissaka specifically?
Yeah, it's a lot of times where he has decision-making errors.
There was a time he was with, you know, when you play football and you shift when the ball's on the other opposite side of the pitch and you move to the left, shift over there. So he shifts over there, and Foden's behind him. So obviously you can see Foden behind you. So you leave him there, but you're shifting over. So the ball comes into the midfield to Gundogan, and Wan-Bissaka goes after Gundogan, leaving Foden just free. And they just
come back in line to make sure he's onside.
He came back onside, through ball past him. I was like, this guy's an imbecile.
Yeah, it's a lot of things.
This guy's an imbecile. I saw that. I said, this guy's absolutely.
There's a lot of things like that have to change from his game, which is why I think he's going to lose. But, you know, Man United are going to be a force to be reckoned with. You know, we already know what Chelsea is. So let's quickly move on to the Man City West Ham game. Okay, pause the record. Yeah, like I said, moving on to Man City West Ham, as usual, it was just a dominant game from City. It's what they do at this point. Like, nothing Man City does should ever surprise you again. They were totally dominant. They controlled possession. I don't feel like the press does anything to Man City because of the amount of technically gifted players that they have. Those guys are disgusting. And it could have been 3-0 because Bernardo Silva scored, but unfortunately he was onside. But what did you guys make of Man City's performance, Chris?
I mean, dominant as usual. They had most of the ball. And, like, that's why I don't understand. Like, remember when I called yesterday and Akasemi was saying they counter-attacking? But you know, like, their method of football is so obvious, but yet, like, you can't. It's not something you can. Like, I don't see how a team plans for Man City, and it's just Pep. Like that's what he does.
Yeah, that's what he does.
That's what he did on Barcelona too. So like they're just lovely to watch. Or like I watch Man City games more than I watch United games at this point.
That is just
the kind of ball you enjoy to watch, and like they move the ball so well. They create a lot of chances as well, and they always seem to. It's like FIFA. The ball always seems to bounces. But like the ball always seems to bounce back for them. I don't know.
Chibji, I know you've always been a big fan of Man City. What do you make of their performance?
No, Man City, they're always very slick team. Very slick. I think the result looked very fortunate to West Ham.
Yeah, it was very fair to West Ham. I'm very over to Man City.
Yeah, the result looks very fortunate for West Ham. Match up very clean, very sweet. Like what Chris said, the ball just bounces to just gets to where they want, really. They pass the ball. The first touch in all their players is absolutely beautiful.
Every single person, bro.
Every single one of the players. They have beautiful first touches.
I can't imagine them with a striker, bro. Like,
and they don't carry any player in the game. There's no passenger. Everyone's doing
it. Think about the embarrassment of talents they have, because last season, John Stones had the season of his career. He's not even starting games for them. He's not.
He watched the game against West Ham. Foden wasn't even on the pitch.
He wasn't. Sterling, we're talking about, Sterling wants to leave. Now he's getting a run of games.
They brought Fernandinho back last minute. He scored.
I was watching the game and I see Fernandinho. I'm like, of course it was coming, man. Of course. But it was a great strike from Lanzini, though. But, you know.
He has those in him.
He definitely has those in him. Tottenham fans know what I'm talking about. He definitely has those in him. But it was a standard performance from Man City. You can't even blame West Ham. They were playing above, you know, their level. Man City can do that to any team, not just in Premier League, but in world football.
PSG were fortunate as well with that result. It could have been 5-0.
Look at Riyad Mahrez, bro. Riyad Mahrez is so sensational that he doesn't get talked about enough in that Man City team.
That's very true.
But they have very good players. Silva is really good.
It's an embarrassment of talent, man. It's disgusting. Exactly. That's the only reason why some of these games are closed, just because they don't have a striker.
You notice they don't have a striker because most of the goals, they want to walk the ball in the net.
Mm-hmm.
They score from the 6-yard box. They want to get in there.
I can imagine Cancelo if Man City had signed Ronaldo. Let's not even get into that.
There'll be a few assists.
We're going to waste time on that. But pretty much, let's move on to Liverpool-Southampton game. Standard performance from Liverpool, as usual. Southampton could not breathe, you know. And then one thing I'd like to say is I demanded an apology for Thiago last week. Funda refused to give it. I'm going to be demanding apologies for Thiago every week. Thing about Thiago is he just does some stuff to make you say, yeah, he's a baller. Like the control before he stepped over the ball and he scored. I'm like, you really didn't need to do that. But he's just doing it to show you that he's a baller. Like, he's too saucy with it. And I've always rated him. I don't know. Obviously, the idea ball jokes were funny. Like, they're part of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. But you have to put respect on his name. That guy is elite. He's sensational, bro. What do you guys make of Liverpool's performance? Standard, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was similar to the way they said about the game was very similar to how they said about Arsenal last week. You know, they just put pressure on the team until there's nothing you can do when everyone, it's such coordinated pressure with Liverpool. It's not one player goes, everyone goes together. So it's so much coordination with the pressure that if you don't score early or you don't try and you get into that rhythm of getting the ball and losing the ball, they take advantage. You know,
what's his name?
That's what they do. Jota.
Jota is having an amazing season, bro. He's having an amazing season. And Liverpool create a lot of chances. And you look at that team, you'd be like, there's really no creative player. How do they do it? Like Chuchi said, system. The system creates chances for them. And then, you know, attacking fullbacks and Trent and Robbo. Trent and Robbo changed the game. Like, you have to put some respect on the name. Trent and Robertson are the Steph Currys of football. They've absolutely changed the game and made the fullback position more important than it has ever been. Ever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just a standard performance from Liverpool. Obviously, the defending for the fourth goal from Southampton was shambolic.
I was gonna say that to Dani Alves.
But when Dani Alves was playing, there was no much emphasis on fullback. Like Dani Alves was Dani Alves, Marcelo, they were before their time. If Dani Alves and Marcelo played in this day and age, they would genuinely be more unstoppable than they were in their time.
Yeah, I feel like he goes kind of unrecognized because of the player they have in midfield.
But
Dani Alves was actually a really good footballer.
Yeah, but you know, standard performance from Liverpool. They could have had more. They just didn't. They never left gear one. It's what you get from these teams, Chelsea, Man City, and Liverpool. It's what you get every week from them. They're consistently consistent. And
yeah,
as a fan of Liverpool,
that's what's going to take to win the Premier League.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. It's a 38 game season. Quickly, let's get into the Arsenal game. It was the first half was pretty annoying, but it was a completely dominant game for Arsenal. You know, we came in there after the Liverpool game. We handled our business. Bukayo Saka, bro. Iso Joe. That kid is amazing, bro. The kid is amazing. Yes.
Saka is a really good player. Arsenal dominated the game. But the thing is, with that dominance, I don't even think it was more of how good Arsenal is. I just think it's how terrible Newcastle looked.
Bro.
Newcastle looked absolutely terrible. They look like they have no idea how to attack.
I said last week it'll be so funny if they get relegated before... I feel they could.
And if they
it's
don't
looking more
recruit
likely
properly in January.
Because it's 13 games, they haven't won any single one.
If they don't recruit properly in January, when they will get relegated. I feel they would. Because they looked absolutely terrible. They looked like they had no idea what they were doing.
They really have
no idea
how to attack. They have no idea how to defend. And let's be honest, that game would have been way
it's abusive
more...
what they were doing. What they did to Callum Wilson is an abusive relationship. What they're
and,
doing to Callum
Wilson. Maximan as well.
Yeah, they get the ball up top. They just they defend terribly. They boot the ball up top. Hopefully, they hope he gets it down. Then they leave him alone.
Because
they
you don't have runners. Joe Willock
do
looks
magic.
Like
that's
Joe Willock looks like an absolute shadow of himself, like he was last week. And like I question the appointment of Eddie Howe, but I get it. He can handle these relegation sides better than anybody on the market. To be fair. But
no, I think Eddie Howe, I don't think that's the reason they got. I think they got him because they want him to go build with the team. They wanted to get a young coach who's gonna go with the team.
I don't think Eddie Howe is going to take Liverpool and Newcastle to where they want to be.
I don't think that either. I think it was a terrible appointment. I think it was absolutely terrible.
Yeah, but Newcastle are but you can't blame them. There's really no quality. I mean, when Matt Ritchie is starting games for you in the Premier League in 2021, there's really not much you can do.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think it was a terrible appointment because if I'm a coach, I wouldn't want to go to Newcastle now.
Yep.
Not now. I want
yep.
Give me 5 years when they started building up, then I'll go there now. That's what everyone was thinking. That's what everyone was thinking.
Because Saka had them two, Matt Ritchie and Kraft, on toes, bro. And it could have been way more for Arsenal if Aubameyang takes his chances. Could have been way more for Arsenal if Martinelli controls the ball properly while he's through on goal. I'd like to shout out Nuno Tavares as well. Because after in the first half, he was just shooting like the square on his controller was bad. So anytime he gets the ball, he shoots. Like it was unbelievable. But second half, you know, he didn't stop going. He never stops running.
Square. He uses square on the controller.
Alternate is clever.
Come on, it's classic, man. What are you doing?
He's just old to shoot. That's just weird.
Yeah, but, you know, he never stopped going and he played a very good role in Saka's goal. That goal from Saka was amazing, bro. And Tomiyasu is God's second son. After Jesus Christ is Tomiyasu. It's Tomi's world and we all live in it. He's so amazing. Like, when I watched Tomiyasu, I'm like, I almost cry because I'm like, Bellerin was there last season, bro.
I think Arsenal's just used to Arsenal's very used to terrible performances by Bellerin. He's very good defensively, but against technical players, I do fear for him.
No, but he strapped up Saint Maximin though.
Yeah.
Maximin had nowhere to go.
Yeah, but I think the reason St. Maximin wasn't very good is Newcastle just give him the ball and say, do something for us, Lord. That's what they do. They pass him the ball and say, hopefully you get some magic.
Tomiyasu is defensively solid, in my opinion.
He's very solid. No, he's extremely solid.
Going forward, he doesn't give us that, but that pass to Martinelli, though, that was sensational. That pass to Martinelli was perfectly...
What I fear for him is against technical players. You know, Mane was relentless against
But think about it. Who wants Mane to do that to?
It was very relentless against him, and against City.
He's just 23. Like, he's going to mature. Like, people forget how young these Arsenal players are. And I would also like to shout out Arsenal's defense as well. There's a lot of times where, you know, last season we'd have most definitely conceded before we're able to get the breakthrough, because we didn't score until like the 50 something minutes. So
I think at the minute, that's the difference between Arsenal and United. Is Arsenal look like they do have a system.
And they look like a well-coached side. I say it a lot. Man, you have a better team, but Arsenal are a properly coached side.
Yeah.
I mean,
had a coach for how long?
Sorry?
We haven't had a coach for how long?
I mean, hats off to Arteta, man.
The Arsenal look like a very good team. Side.
Yeah.
I think that's where you see the difference between the system and...
Yeah. Ben White as well. You know, people called Arsenal mad, but it's looking like a really good signing. My weekly apology to Aaron Christopher Ramsdale. I'm sorry for ever doubting you. Those of you out there saying Hollywood saves this, Hollywood saves that. Ramsdale has 6 clean sheets in 9 Premier League games, 7 clean sheets in 10 appearances for Arsenal. Put some respect on his name.
Oh, not world class yet, but he's
playing at a world class level.
He's playing at world class level right now, and
he's England's number one. Don't you?
I think at the minute he might be the most informed keeper in the league.
Yeah.
At the minute.
Yeah.
At the minute he might be the most informed keeper.
Yeah, but you know,
I'm not saying he's the best keeper. Don't get on my neck. At the minute, he's the most informed keeper.
Arsenal handled their business like I hoped they would, and you know, you just love to see it. We move on to the Aston Villa game. I told man Stevie G was ready, and Stevie G actually looks like he's ready, bro. Stevie G actually looks like he's ready. Aston Villa. Yeah. They had lost how many of their games up until Stevie G came in? I think they had lost. They hadn't won a game in 6-7 games. And it looked like the end for Dean Smith. Stevie G has come in. They won 2 on the bounce. My target is John McGinn is playing some sensational football.
John McGinn is playing really well, isn't he?
Yeah. He's
playing really well. They look like they've gotten a breath of like fresh air the past few weeks.
And it's Stevie G. So when Stevie G talks, it doesn't matter who you are, you listen.
Ollie Watkins played so well.
I feel like it's just the new manager effect or something.
No.
It could be.
Did you watch the game?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I watched the game,
but I saw the highlights. I still feel I had all the ball.
Ollie Watkins played really well.
Yeah, Ollie Watkins has played really well on the bounce now for Stevie G. Remember, the finish against, I can't remember who they played last week. I think it was Brighton. Finish against Brighton was exquisite. Tyrone Mings looks like he's found his form as well. He played really well again on Saturday.
I think he scored last week, didn't he?
Yeah, he scored the second goal for Aston Villa last week. And John McGinn, like we said, but it was a... wasn't that much of a bad loss for Crystal Palace. I mean, you never want to lose a game in Premier League, but I still rep Patrick Vieira. You know, Conor Gallagher won man of the match despite the fact that Crystal Palace lost. So that kid is a baller. He's a baller.
He's such a baller. He's very good.
He's a baller. And Crystal Palace, they got Iberichiese back last week. So
Palace went terrible. I think Arsenal Villa were just very gritty. Yeah. They really wanted to win that game.
Playing more because of the new manager effect.
Let's not be fooled. Arsenal Villa have a very good squad.
Of course.
Have a very good squad.
Of course. There's no easy game in the Premier League.
Yeah, if you take out the top six, you know. The traditional top six, obviously. I think when you come to the squad, you have Leicester City. I think after that, you have Aston Villa.
You have West Ham, sorry.
Then you have Aston Villa. They have a really good squad.
They're really good. Crystal Palace still have a really good squad. I really hope they can back on Gallagher, because he's been a different breath of fresh air for them. Yeah. But we need to move on quickly. Leicester, Watford, 4-2.
That game was a very funny football match, wasn't it? It's a very funny game of football. The second half was it looked more like ice skating, to be honest.
But Jamie Vardy always scores goals, bro. It's what he does. It's definitely what he does. Vardy scores goals. One chance, one goal bang. But shout out Emmanuel Dennis, bro. He's been very good for Watford.
He's been very good for Watford.
Good.
I think Leicester, they're getting back a bit of form now, aren't they?
They're
getting back a bit of form.
I feel like this is where Leicester are always going to be. Like, I don't think they're ever going to make that step into becoming a proper top six team.
I don't think they will either.
Because every single time you think about a player that can improve a big team, like a top six team, you think of a Leicester player. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to move from Leicester to that top six team.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So I really don't see them breaking it. But the thing is, they're always going to recruit young, rising players. They're going to make them better.
Yeah, very good recruitment.
They'll sell them for a crazy amount of money, and they'll just stay competitive in the Premier League. But I don't see them, you know, breaking the ice into the top six anytime soon.
I don't see any other team doing that, though. For like at least the next 5 years.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I see Tottenham falling out. But I don't see any of that team breaking.
No, Tottenham are gonna get their form.
Tottenham lost to a team that is younger than me, bro. Lucas Moura is more popular than the team that they played, NS Moura. It's disgusting.
I think they're good.
And the thing is, Davinson Sanchez doesn't learn. Like it's the same thing with him over and over again. All you have to do to that, like, bro, when you're playing FM, what do? You show certain players onto their weaker foot. Davinson Sanchez shows you onto your stronger foot for one reason or the other that I don't get. It's almost as if he doesn't have the ability to defend a player that is chopping inside. It's either he falls down or he runs past or something. And you think back to that performance. Continue.
I think they have a very good team. But let's not forget, this is the same Tottenham team. How different is it from the Tottenham team who got to the Champions League final 2019?
It's not very different.
It's the same. Basically, it's the same.
The difference is they only turned into 6-9.
you just see there's a group of players who haven't got any motivation to play football. And they don't take football as a lifestyle. You know, they take it as a job. They feel like they can rock up on like a Saturday or a Sunday and play a game, then have the weekend off, the whole week off, then come back on a Saturday and Sunday.
Obviously, it doesn't work like Jose told us, I don't feel like Deli takes football seriously. I really don't.
I don't think he cares.
I don't think Davinson Sanchez cares. I don't think Harry Kane at this point cares, but just because he wants to leave.
Harry Kane cares, he just doesn't care about
Tottenham. That's what I'm saying. Just because he wants to leave. That's why I say at this point, I don't think he cares. Eric Dier cares, but he's not good enough. Christian Romero is probably thinking, why the hell did I come here? Ben Davis opened his mouth to say, I can't get up for the Conference League games. That's your level. That's where you're supposed to be. You're still as special.
It's all about the attitude to work.
Conte said the level of Tottenham at this point is not very good. Do you know what that sounds like to me? Squad clear out.
Do you think Conte is really going to sit down and let these players have this kind of
attitude? They have to clear because Matt Doherty, bro. Their midfield is really bad. It's really terrible. Their midfield is really bad at the moment. There's no one there who looks like they can like hold the game together. No one looks like they know what they're doing. Personally, it looks like you're just running around and hoping for the best. It doesn't look like there's a transition between defense and attack.
Even with Conte, it doesn't look like there's a transition between defense and attack. And it's scary. It's really scary for Tottenham fans.
It's very bad.
Because they're in desperate need of a squad clear out, in my opinion.
There's a few players that I don't know what they're doing there.
Nobody talks about Tottenham's 2019 transfer window so much because they spent over 100 million and it was absolutely terrible. No. Dembele. No.
The recruitment has been really bad.
At the time, though,
Dembele, Dele Alli.
In Dembele, Lo Celso, Ryan Sessegnon.
Those were good signings at the time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's Tottenham. The curse of Spurs is bigger than Antonio Conte. It's what they do, and they will never change.
I think since Pochettino left, I think the players just, I think there was a switch in their head that just went off.
Is everybody says this, and I'm finally starting to agree. Poch took them to the max that he could. He squeezed the juice out of them to the possible, like, you know when you have nightcap and you squeeze the juice till nothing comes out of the straw again.
I think the players with under Poch, his thing is, you know when you have like a football manager, when you have a coach, you're playing for the coach, sort of. You're playing for him because you really like this coach. I think that was what was with the players. They had the best running, that they covered the most distance in almost every Premier League game.
Yep.
For every season, like the past 4 or 5 seasons. Mm-hmm. They're just that good. We're playing for their manager. Now they have one of the worst running statistics in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And it's evident. You can see that in the game. You know, there's no transition from defense to attack. When they're attacking, trying to go over counter-attack, you don't see that many players like sprinting forward. You know, when it's time to move out of defense, when you're trying to clear the ball, you don't see that many defenders pushing back. It's very lazy football.
It's probably not a coincidence that Dele Alli's fall coincided with Pochettino's sack. It's probably not a coincidence. And
Dele Alli had been falling off before the sack.
Because he was on such a high level, nobody expected him to maintain it. But what we're seeing now, even though you felt like he was falling off at that time, you never expected it to be this bad.
Right now, he should just stick to fashion.
Bro, I saw his new hair. I'm like, you better not let Roy Keane get a whiff of this. Because if Roy Keane sees this, pray for Dele Alli, bro.
So much slander for Tottenham. They didn't even play this weekend.
Yeah. It's so true. They didn't. Their game got cancelled because of Stu.
They didn't even play this weekend, but we can't skip the weekly slander for Tottenham.
Brentford, Everton. Everton are done out here, man. Everton are done out here, honestly. And I get it. They don't have DCL. They don't have Richarlison, but
they have a lot of injury.
This is not good enough, honestly. This is not, and Sigurdsson is still arrested, if I can't remember where. Yeah, but they're not really a good side at this point, honestly. They're really not. They started off the season flying. Alex Iwobi, bro, I'm sorry, but right now you're still a footballer because you're Nigerian and your coach has nephew. Because Alex Iwobi, he's just not it, man. I'm sorry. I really loved Iwobi when I was at Arsenal. Iwobi is a very good, you know, technical footballer. But you can't be saying that a footballer has no end product all your career. Are you working on your game at all if you don't have any end product?
I mean, you also need the right manager, right? Like,
it's always one thing or the other.
Do you remember Sterling before he went to Man City?
That guy couldn't
score if you, like, obviously he used to score goals, but he wasn't that good of a finisher.
Yeah, but Sterling would score like 10 goals in a season.
I think you can't even be comparing Iwobi to Iwobi. He needs to.
Sterling was how old was he? Was 22, 23?
He was younger,
26, 27. Yeah. At this point,
Iwobi's a championship level player. He's not worth playing the Premier League.
He spent most of his career as a young star in Arsenal.
If Arsene Wenger could not take Iwobi to the next level, I don't know who can.
No, he's not good enough. It's simple as that. He's not good enough.
Like, he's
a championship level footballer.
You know, because
and there's a lot of championship level footballers in Everton at the moment.
Exactly. I agree with
that. There's a lot of championship level footballers in Everton.
You look at Salomon Rondon. What is he doing?
What's Rondon still doing? I mean, don't get me wrong. Townsend started well, but really, Townsend? Why is Townsend in the Premier League?
Bro, the only thing good about Aaron Townsend is his recovery from his hairline, bro. That was insane. Aside that, I don't know what else Andre Townsend has done to still be in the Premier League.
They have a lot of championships.
Demarai Gray as well. He was on a good run, but he I don't think he can perform.
These are players you cannot rely on. Exactly. Cannot rely on players like this. You know, I mean, where did he go? Leipzig or something?
Cheng Tosun is still in Liverpool, bro. He's still in Everton. Yeah. Come on. I remember when they signed him, they were calling him the Turkish Hurricane. God forbid.
These are players you cannot rely on.
Demarai Gray is talented, but you can't rely on him. I like DCL. I wouldn't mind DCL at Arsenal, even though I feel like they're better options. But
he's a good striker. They have
DCL and Richarlison.
They're not in at the moment. That coming back in the team could change your team.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they have. Absolutely. At the moment, they're just trying to get by. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison.
And he's looking very bad for them. That's what
very bad. Really bad. I mean, you look at Fabian Delph as well. Did you guys see how Delph was looking at Benitez? He was like, fam, Pep would never do this, bro. What am I doing here? But, you know, it's bad times for Everton. I don't think they've won any game. If I check their position,
they started a bit well.
Yeah, no, I'm saying I don't think they've won any game in their last few games. They're currently
in the last five, have they?
They've picked up 15 points from a possible 39. They've won only four games. They've lost six, so it's really not been good enough for them. I think
especially from the way they started this season, exactly. They look like they started really well.
I think that game against Burnley, where Townsend scored that stunner. And everything was going right for them. People were
everything was going right. Arsenal
should have gone for Rafa Benitez, but it's just gone downhill since then. You know,
they started so well. You know,
no, I like Everton. I like Everton. Hopefully, they can get back to where they were.
I mean, hopefully, they keep up this form when they meet Arsenal on Monday.
But quickly, let's move on to the civil war that's going to happen on Thursday. It's Arsenal versus Man United, bro. Unfortunately, Ralph Ragnick won't be taking charge of that game because he saw the mighty Arsenal and decided, yeah, I don't want to get my paperwork done before the game. But all honesty, it's going to be a really good... I feel like this is one of the biggest six-pointers of the season. This could make Arsenal's season, and it could also make Man United's season as well.
It's very important.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I see a draw happening, but
it's either it's going to be a draw or Arsenal win.
If Arsenal can go into Manchester United, Old Trafford, and pick up 3 points, think about what it'd do for our season, because we have Everton next, after Everton, Southampton, after Southampton, West Ham, after West Ham, Leeds. Those are all winnable games. The toughest one of those being West Ham, obviously, aside Man United, but those are all winnable games. And imagine the confidence that will go into this young team if we can go to Manchester United and pick up all 3 points.
I mean, they can definitely beat United. I think United were the team that stopped our inability to win a big six away from home last season. I think we hadn't won like 20 games. We beat United.
Yeah, well, the last thing we had was Man City.
Yeah, we weren't even as bad as we
but are. I think this game, believe it or not, people wouldn't believe this, but from an Arsenal fan point of view, which I am, I think this game is more important for Arsenal than it is for
Man United.
I really
do think so as well. I
think
so.
This game is... People wouldn't believe this, but United, they're waiting for their new manager. And I think when Ragnick comes in, they're going to have this reconnaissance period. They always have a reconnaissance every season where they're going to win 7 matches in 10 or 6 matches in 8, it will happen. I'm very sure that will happen. And that is their important part of the season. But what Arsenal need to do at the moment is, Arsenal have a good run of form. They have a bit of confidence at the moment. What they need to do now is, they're 5 points ahead of United. They need to create that gap for Manu's reconnaissance period and when Arsenal have a dip.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what Arsenal need to do at the moment. And this game is very important in doing that, because Arsenal win on Thursday, have 8 points ahead of United, right? United will close that gap eventually, because they will have their credentials. They have very good players, and this is a dip in form. It will happen.
And
I think
about
you
it, it will give us leverage in terms of the closing times of season, because every other team is playing 2 games a week except Arsenal. So when it comes into crunch time, Arsenal would have just 1 game a week to prepare for, and every other team would have 2. So if we can create that gap right now, and evidently, when Man United catch up, we will also have... we will not be playing catch up when Man United, we recover those games, because we would have created that gap. And when it's crunch time, we would have less games to prepare for than them. So, because Arsenal really and truly, what it is we have a good starting 11 and 2 good players off the bench. Aside that,
I think the game for Arsenal, realistically, approaching this the game, what they need to do, what both teams need to do realistically, is start very strong, start with very good press,
yeah,
and start attacking. Because for United, the worst thing that happens to United now is for Arsenal to score first and early. Because you know what? When we play football, the coach usually says, United are used to losing at the moment. They've lost so many games. They haven't picked up points. And apart from the win against Tottenham, they've lost, and Villarreal maybe, that they've lost everything else. Mm-hmm. No, they haven't picked up points. And when teams play like that, the coach always tells you, you got to score first. They're used to losing. When you score first, their head drops.
Their head drops.
That's what Arsenal needs to do now. We need to capitalize now, score first. Hopefully, United's head drops. We score again.
And we're going there. We need to go in there. But like, Arteta should not sit back. We need to go in there and, believe it or not, go toe-to-toe with Man United. We need to...
100%.
We need to press high up, honestly speaking, because you need to put...
Because if you let United in the game, they will win.
Yeah, because they have better players than us. They have better players than us.
If United still hold the game till about the middle of the first half, till about the 35th minute, they start to play into the game, they're going to score.
Yeah.
They have players that can score like this. Yep. They don't need to create that many chances to score goals. They have players that can, the ball comes forward, it drops to Ronaldo, he shoots it in 1-0.
So not really is this, you know, a big game for Arsenal in the now. It's a big game in terms of the impact it could have on our mental. Because Man U would definitely recover from losing to Arsenal. They did it last season.
Yeah, United would definitely recover.
Yeah, so I really hope Arsenal can go in there and get a job done. I think it's going to be a draw. What do you guys think?
I think it's going to be a draw, to be honest.
It depends on how both teams approach the game. If United approach the game like they did against Chelsea, which I doubt they're going to do that. Or if they approach the game like they did against Chelsea, they're going to get battered, I think. I think Arsenal start really strong.
We do.
Arsenal will score.
Do you guys think Arsenal would press more and create more chances than Chelsea did?
I think Arsenal will score. That's what I think Arsenal will do. I think Arsenal will be more clinical with the chances than Chelsea were.
Yeah, because we don't create as much chances as Chelsea.
Don't forget, Arsenal a bit ruthless this season with the way they scored their chance against Tottenham 3-0 in the first 30
minutes. Thing I'm thinking about as well is, if we score early and we have something to defend, we've seen Arsenal have been extremely resolute and compact when they have something to defend, extremely hard to break down. And if that is the case, and we go into United and we score early and we, you know, become that compact team that we usually are, we can hit you guys on the break with the type of players that we have.
What scares you about United is, well, what United's strength in this game will be is, United, if Arsenal don't score and Arsenal refuse to, you know, hold the game down and take the game to United, United will slowly get back into the football match.
If
United get back into that football match, they will score. They will score with, they don't need too many chances. They don't need too many invites.
They need Ronaldo. And if Ronaldo starts that game, boy.
They have players that can score at any time. The ball drops down there, they score. And it could look like another 3-0 like they beat Tottenham. No, very. It could look very.
That's the thing, as an Arsenal fan, you're very scared that it could be that way. You're very scared.
You could dominate the game, but United could beat you 2-3-0 because they just have the players that can do that to you. Really,
it would definitely be a different approach from the Chelsea game. That's for sure. Yeah. I don't expect Eric to do the same thing he did.
If we go toe to toe with United, I feel like it's ending a draw. Maybe the usual 1-1 or 2-2. But you know, obviously, I'm hoping we get in there. We get the 3 points. And we move on.
But Arsenal need to start well. They need to show the few defenders that actually.
Yep.
You're not that good.
It's almost like you have to get into Maguire's head, because it's looked like it's been easier to do that of recent.
That's the thing with a team with very low confidence. When I play against a team with very low confidence, because when I play as a centre forward as well, you look at their record and say, oh, this team concedes a lot of goals. What do you need to do that? You need to go in there and show, actually, I'm a very good footballer. I'm a very good player. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to make you feel scared. That's what you need to do. You need to show, once you create 2-3 chances and they're sixes and sevens, they're running around, they start to look at each other and be like,
that is exactly what happened against Tottenham.
We look at each other like, we're in for a game here, you know, we need to play quite well. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if that happens and United look at each other and their heads start to drop, that's when you capitalize.
And one thing the last thing I would like to say on this game is, please, please, I ask Arsenal experienced senior players, it's time for you to step up and actually take the mantle in a big game. Because of recent, like you look at the game against Newcastle, who did we rely on and who got us, who bailed us out? Saka. It's been like that since last season. If it's not Saka, it's Smith Rowe. If it's not Smith Rowe, it's Martinelli. If it's not Martinelli, it's somebody else that is not Aubameyang or Lacazette or Partey. I need these guys to step up and not leave it in the hands of our young players. And Aubameyang is you. You are the one, because I know Arteta is going to start Aubameyang. So he is the one that needs to step up and lead us into Old Trafford. You know, it'll be lovely to come out with a dub, you know.
No, this is, I think this is Arsenal's biggest test to how far they've gone. How they approach the game is very important.
Yeah, because Test against Liverpool, because Liverpool can't do that to anybody. But this is a test to actually show if we've improved or we are just, what does Emeka call it?
It's a tactically important game. Or we are illusionists. That's what it is.
Hopefully we're not illusionists. But, you know, what do you guys think the match is going to end in?
I'll go an Arsenal win. I'll go an Arsenal 2-1.
Like, lovely, lovely. Chris, what do you think?
0-0.
I can see that happen. I can definitely see that happening.
There'll definitely be a lot of chances, though. Yeah. Like a lot of chances, but
yeah, keepers are gonna have a big game as well. Keepers are gonna be very important. Let's move on to some of the results in the Champions League last week. Obviously, we saw what Chelsea did to Juventus. You know, Rich James, bro. What more can you say about that kid? Let's talk about Man City PSG. You know, we're just talking about Poch. And you look at PSG. And at the start of the season, I thought, if PSG don't win the Champions League, then Poch has something going on about him. But then you watch PSG, and it's like Funta said, none of the best teams in this world have passengers. And they have three passengers up top. And it's just so hard for a team to recover from something like that. Especially when you consider the fact that your defense is not all that great. And Ronaldo isn't starting games for them for one reason or the other. But I just want to know, what you guys think about the state of PSG?
I just think Poch isn't the right fit. Because you have Neymar and Messi, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Messi, these players, they both need the ball all the time. If you watch that game, if you watch both games Messi played against City, he was always coming back. Like, he's always dropping. That's how Messi plays, because he always needs the ball. He always needs to hold the ball, and Neymar as well. And Poch doesn't just know how to, like, make that work.
So you think it's on Poch?
I think the whole thing is on Poch. Because, like, you can't have so many star players and expect all of them to... And
just I'm not saying Poch should be eviscerated. I feel like to an extent, you're right. He can't make it work. There's only a handful of managers that can handle a boatload of talent the way PSG have. Pep can do it. Zidane can do it.
Yeah, and you can't rely on individual performances against Manchester City. You just can't.
Exactly.
So, like, and that's what Poch was doing.
That could be another thing as well. Maybe Neymar and Messi don't feel like they need to answer to Poch, because, to be honest, what has Poch done for Neymar and Messi to answer to him? But Chibito, what do you think?
I think if you look back at the game between Man City and PSG, it was chalk and cheese, really. It was two different sides. It's another testament to a system versus talented players.
Yep.
You know, when you look at both of them, really, you have three players up top who are kind of isolated within themselves, and there is no coming together with the defense or the attack. Realistically,
that's what I'm saying. Passengers.
Yeah, there's a lot of passengers in the game. You know, they're hoping they stay forward and the ball gets to them. And there's no kind of system. And I understand, I feel bad for Poch, really, because these players, they're world-class players, and they would not listen to him. And I don't think Poch would want Messi to be coming back to pick up the ball and going forward, you know, kind of playing two roles at once. And there's not much Poch can really do about that as well, because, you know, I don't think he can stop Messi from playing how Messi wants to play.
Yep.
And I think with the way Poch was at Tottenham, Poch is the kind of manager who wants to control the entire team. No, he wants to kick every single ball in the game. He wants to tell every player to do this. This is your role. This is your role. This is your role. He can't do that with PSG.
Tottenham were very good at the high. Like you said, they were running. Like
they ran around. They would run. Covered so much distance. These players will not do that. I can't see Messi running back to defense and going left back, helping out left back, helping out. I can't see that. I can't see that.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that is Poch's style of play. He needs players who give 100%.
So do you guys he's not going to get that. Do you guys think it can be resolved? Because we've seen players like this. We've seen teams like this go on to win Champions League. You look at Madrid, they had Bale, Benzema, Cristiano. You look at Barcelona, they had Neymar, Messi, Suarez. I personally, I think football has evolved so much that we see teams like Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City, that is just not going to work again.
Yeah,
you cannot win Champions League with passengers.
You can't win with that superstars mentality in a team is gone now. I think you can't. It just doesn't work anymore. You just have to have a system in place and players that can step into those roles. At the end of the day, that's what happened. Look at the four top teams in the world right now. There's Bayern Munich, there's Chelsea, there's Man City, there's Liverpool, and they all have systems in place.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get stars and hopefully they come together. You know, it's an abusive relationship to the stars. You know, you can't just plow the ball up front and say, there you go, do something for me.
And it sounds crazy us saying that Mason Mount and Trevor Chalobah are a better team than PSG with Neymar, Messi and Mbappe. But with the way football is right now, you can't argue about it.
Yeah, but you see every week. You see every week. You can't argue about it. It's such a good system to play.
Yeah. So, Chris, what are you saying?
I'm saying, like, the thing is with Messi in that team, you need to, to see the best of Messi, you need whatever system you're making, it needs to adjust to
the way Messi. That's what I'm saying. You have to account for Messi, account for Mbappe, and account for Neymar.
I don't think Poch can. Like, let me put it that way. I don't think Poch can.
Yeah, but a manager can account for them, but when they come against the hitters, the Bayerns of this world, the Chelseas of this world, the Man Cities of this world, the Liverpools of this world, imagine PSG carry their back line, because Ramos, I don't think Ramos has played a game for them. Imagine PSG go with their back line.
He played his first game.
Imagine PSG go with their back line to Anfield. They're getting slapped. Seriously.
You think of a team like PSG is, think of this out. I think the present day football team have at least five defensive minded players, four defenders and a defensive midfielder, or three at the back and just one and a couple players just up top. To five defensive minded players. PSG already have three players that in no way will help you towards defending. They're done. That's unaccounted for, right? Then you look at the midfield. Who really is going to really help there? They have Idrissa Gueye. He's not that good. Realistically, he's not that much.
And some of the signings they've made as well, as Danilo Pereira. What is he doing there?
You know, Ander Herrera. He's a good player, but he's good, but he's not that good. And if you think of that,
and then you look at. But this is why I think Poch needs some blame as well, because Wijnaldum could definitely help out because of where he's coming from, but he's not starting. And
it's like you shit in a plate and put ice on the top and say, "Oh, there's a cake." It's not gonna work. You can't just paint the crack and say, "Oh yeah." You can't just like get a terrible team at the back and put three players up top and say, "Go with me."
And it just shows me right now that at the level we are in football, coaching trumps everything. That is the stage we have reached in football right now. If you don't have a good coach, I'm sorry, but you're not going to yield to anything.
And even the Barcelona, Real Madrid players teams you're talking about, they had Xavi and Iniesta behind that.
Like that, exactly.
Behind the Messi.
These were controllers. Iniesta could control the ball for years. Iniesta and Xavi. You look at, they had Modric, Cruz and Casemiro as well for Madrid.
They had very good midfielders behind them. So they had people who could cover the ball for them.
Yeah.
Who could get the ball to them? Casemiro could run.
Come on, man. Casemiro in his prime could win the ball back from anybody.
You know, they had players who could get the ball to them and players who were fine, who can say, you know what, go up there, do your thing. Three of us are here, we'll control this for you. Control the midfield for you. Do your thing. But PSG don't have that. They don't have those players.
It even sounds crazy. I feel like United have a better chance at winning the Champions League than PSG do. With Ralph Rangnick coming in,
I'll have to disagree with you there.
No, I feel like with
I'm Ralph, United fan, but I don't.
I feel like with Ralph Rangnick coming in, you can account for Cristiano Ronaldo with your midfield, and if they are coached properly, Ronaldo is just one passenger. He won't press, but you can account for him. With PSG, you can't account for those three people. It is not possible.
It's really hard unless you get a very stacked midfield behind them.
Yeah, but they have Verratti, they have Wijnaldum, but I just don't see it's good.
You know, world class players. You know, Champions League with
him. Verratti is world class. I don't know why Ronaldo is.
I think Verratti is world class, to be honest.
I don't know that why Ronaldo is. Yeah,
Ronaldo.
That is a conundrum that PSG are going through, and sadly, it looks like, you know, they're not going to win the Champions League.
What about Gueye?
Idrissa Gueye is good in a low block. Everybody's sitting, like, when you say he's very good at winning the ball back, but mm-hmm. to cover up for the frailties of Messi, Neymar, and Mbappe, that is too much.
Especially Messi and Neymar, they don't fall back
at all.
Messi will literally like lose the ball in Man City's half, and while everyone is running back, including Man City's defenders, Messi is just walking like. He's literally just throwing
You can't help a team that have players like that. You know, you can't really help teams like that.
Yeah, but quickly, let's move on to, you know, this award has lost all its meaning to me, honestly. The Ballon d'Or, you know, Lionel Messi picked up his 7th Ballon d'Or. It was yesterday, I think. Yeah, Tuesday. Monday. He picked up his 7th Ballon d'Or. To be honest with you, I don't think he deserves it. I really don't.
I think Lewandowski deserves it.
They're
not doing the Ballon d'Or for 2020, though.
I'm saying
there's an important word there that people are missing. Does Messi deserve a Ballon d'Or this year?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
if there were five Ballon d'Or trophies,
Messi deserves a Ballon d'Or every single year.
I don't doubt that. He deserves a Ballon d'Or. And people saying 2020, Lewandowski was still a brilliant player 2021. Let's not forget
Lewandowski played 46 games and scored 54 goals.
This year?
It was a brilliant
player. Yes.
This year, this calendar year.
I'm not entirely sure how accurate this is, but I heard Messi has only scored 10 open play goals in 2021.
I can't be right.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how factual it is.
To be fair, since September, he's only scored 3 open play goals.
But if it is, because Messi didn't win anything. Let's be honest. He won the Copa America, but aside that, he didn't win anything.
The Copa America, I'll put it like this. The Copa America, Nigeria stand a very good chance of getting to at least the semi-final. And I'm serious. I fully believe that as well. And what I back myself to say that.
What I think it is ever since Modric won the Ballon d'Or over Cristiano Ronaldo in 2018, the Ballon d'Or lost all credibility to me. And you might say, oh, just because Ronaldo is your guy and all that. But on the balance of things, Modric did not deserve that Ballon d'Or. Yeah, he ran through the World Cup. But take out Modric, and Real Madrid still reached that Champions League final. Take out Ronaldo, I don't know about that.
Honestly, people saying, you know, let's be honest.
I mean, it was always going to be the World Cup.
It's not that big of a tournament, and I don't know how much you say. It's not that big of a tournament.
Exactly. Are you telling me if Messi had won, let's say
Argentina would not be in the quarterfinal of the Euros?
Let's say Bayern won Champions League in 2016, and Ronaldo won Euros. Ronaldo would not get Ballon d'Or just because of the Euros, but he won the Champions League, was the top scorer in the Champions League, and won the Euros for his country as well. I don't see the Copa America as enough reason to give Messi the Ballon d'Or over Lewandowski.
Who is he playing against in the Ballon d'Or? You have to think of the quality of players, that your quality of defenders you're playing against in the Copa America. People come and say he got the most goals, but what against who? Against who? He got the most goals against who? The biggest game he played was in the final.
Yeah, about Bundesliga as well, though.
Against Brazil, but no, Lewandowski was in the Champions League as well.
Yeah. And let's be honest, the only reason Chelsea won the Champions League last season is because Lewandowski was injured.
Exactly. That's true. I fully believe that as well. I fully believe that. PSG were lucky to get Bayern out.
I've never seen a team as lucky as that.
PSG were lucky to get Bayern out.
Because you really can't account for Robert Lewandowski. Honestly,
still face Man City, bro.
You really think Man City can win Bayern?
They could. Man City could beat Bayern.
Did you watch Man City PSG?
Man City could beat Bayern.
PSG is not Bayern Munich.
Yeah, Bayern could.
Bayern are not only, you know, they don't have passengers, but they are ruthless with it. They are extremely ruthless. Like, you can give Bayern 8 chances and they'll score 15. That's how but ruthless they are.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can't be ruthless against Man City. Man City will stop you there.
Facts.
They would stop you there.
I don't see Man City controlling the possession against Bayern as they would against PSG. I really don't.
I don't think they would. I think Man City would have taken out Bayern. I think Man City would have taken out Bayern.
I feel so too.
But I feel if Bayern got to the semi-final, people look at it a bit more different with the Ballon d'Or.
Mm.
And is that a actual reason for you to look at it a bit differently because they got to the semi-final?
Honestly, you know, I'm not taking anything away from Messi, and it's not just because I prefer
Messi Ronaldo. Deserves to win a Ballon d'Or, but I don't think but he deserves I to feel win like, this year's Ballon d'Or.
Lewandowski. And then another thing I would like to say is, and it sounds crazy, but I feel like the awards we should take. Like, football should take a lesson from American football. Like, put more importance into positional awards as opposed to just the Ballon d'Or. Because Van Dijk, let me just use the Van Dijk season. Messi had a phenomenal season that season. And Van Dijk had a phenomenal season as well. And Van Dijk ended up with the Champions League. But if somebody scores 50 goals, he's going to win the Ballon d'Or over somebody who kept clean sheets. That's just how it is. And in American football, the thing is, the quarterback almost always wins the MVP because he's the most important player in the team. But they put a lot of importance into other awards, like the defensive player of the year. There's a lot of importance into that. Offensive player of the year, there's a lot of importance in that. So I feel like football should take in that step and put, you know, more importance into these midfielder of the year awards, defender of the year, goalkeeper of the year, you know, attacker of the year. And then allow the people who scored the most goals to debate about the Ballon d'Or. That's just what I think it is, because there's no way in hell.
There's a lot of importance in attacker of the year. Then what's the essence of giving the Ballon d'Or to the person who scored the most goals? You get what I mean? Like, if there's already an award for
attacker. I'm saying if you do attacker of the year, that way the Ballon d'Or would not just necessarily go to the person who scored the most goals and won the Champions League. It'll go, you can go to a defender for the most clean sheets, you know, just basically the person that had the most impact on a team. And I know you play football to score goals.
Yeah.
And majority of the time it will go to the attacker. But
people don't really appreciate how much work defenders do.
Exactly. Like they need to put more respect into some of these positional awards. And I feel like it's a long shot.
Sometimes I've slotted in the centre back before during games. I've slotted in a right back as well. They had very difficult jobs.
I'm telling you, fullbacks.
Fullback, very difficult job. It's a very mental job as well, especially for fullback. People don't really think of
that. Fullbacks in this day and age.
You're returning from being a forward player, right? You go, you attack, and the other team is now attacking. You have to run back. You have to make sure you're in line with
your
defender.
You're in line, exactly.
You have to make sure you find the player you're supposed to, like the winger is supposed to have. And you have to concentrate again on your defensive play.
Make sure you don't lose your runner and all those things.
Yeah, you have to focus on the same play. Then when you attack again, you have to quickly run back in again. Then you have to do that. You have to do that for 90 minutes.
90 minutes.
Very tiring, not on your stamina, but also mentally.
And then we give the Ballon d'Or to the person who just heads the ball in.
You know, it's trying to do a difficult job, but these other players do very difficult jobs.
That's what I'm saying. We need to put more importance into some of these positional awards, you know, just to make, you know, footballers feel like, what I'm doing is not taken for granted. What do you guys also think about Jorginho finishing third in Ballon d'Or ranking?
That's just cap.
Because he had a phenomenal season.
Let me tell you the mindset behind it, right? It's an award for getting awards. Because Jorginho didn't really, like, Chelsea could have won the Champions League without Jorginho.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Every team he played in that he won a trophy with, they could have won that trophy.
Won a Champions League. Like, Salah should have been ahead of Jorginho, in my opinion.
I think they looked at it and said Jorginho wasn't a team that won the Euros, Champions League, and they won the Super Cup, you know. So it's like, let's put him somewhere in there. He's the only constant thing among those teams. So they said, put him in there. Realistically, Italy would have still won the Euros without Jorginho.
I mean, look at the midfield.
I fully believe they would.
I mean, Locatelli, come on, bro. Italy had some blessed midfielders.
They would have won the Euros without Jorginho. I think Jorginho's main contribution was the penalty that he scored against
and
Spain.
He missed again. You think about it, Jorginho missed the penalty shootout against England as well.
You know, realistically, I don't think Italy would have failed to win without Jorginho, realistically.
Yeah.
Because the two games they found really difficult were the game against Spain and the game against England. I mean, realistically, they didn't find England that difficult, you know. I mean, they conceded once they equalized, they go in the game, they were just
the first half. They dominated the game throughout.
Yeah, so I don't think Jorginho had much to do there. I think I could have slotted in there and I've done a job as well.
let's respect him, but I think it's asinine that he finished third in Ballon d'Or rankings.
I don't think it should have been anywhere near the top 10. I don't think it should have been anywhere near the top 10.
Oh wow. But yeah, like we said, I really don't think Messi deserved to win the Ballon d'Or. I feel like he should have gone to Lewandowski. I know Chris disagrees with me, but it's not like
I disagree. I mean, I can obviously see why, you know, obviously what Lewandowski should have won it, but
and then the Copa Trophy. What do you guys think about the Golden Boy? I think we all unanimously agree that Pedri deserved it.
Yeah, no, clear.
Phenomenal player.
Yeah,
phenomenal
but what
player.
I don't agree with is Mason Greenwood being ahead of Bukayo Saka. That is asinine. That is utterly...
Was he not second Mason Greenwood?
No.
I think it was second or third.
No. He wasn't top three. Jamal Musiala came third. I can't remember who came second. Greenwood came fourth. Bellingham came fourth. Greenwood came fifth. Saka came sixth.
No. Bellingham came second.
Bellingham came second, I think.
Yeah, Bellingham came second.
But let me see.
I know Bellingham and Musiala and Greenwood finished ahead of Saka. And I think it's ridiculous because Mason Greenwood did not have a better year than Bukayo Saka. I'm sorry, he just didn't.
I don't know.
When did Greenwood... Greenwood picked up form towards the end of last season.
He didn't go to the Euros.
Does Saka have more goals?
You see, football's all about stats. What we're just talking about, putting more importance.
Do you know what it is? I don't think Greenwood's a better player than Saka. I don't see that happening. But I think Greenwood's a very talented player.
I think he's clear
when it comes to finishing.
Greenwood is probably the best finisher in United besides Ronaldo.
He's clear of Saka when it comes to finishing. But I don't think Greenwood can impact a football match the way Saka can impact a football match.
That is all I've been saying. I see.
I think Saka has... You look at the game against England versus... was it Croatia? Was it the group stage game?
No. It was the third game.
Czech Republic, was it? One nil.
Yeah, that was man of the match.
One of the games in the group stage. You know, he changed the entire game. I don't think Greenwood has that ability to change
a match. And he doesn't just do it for England. When the chips are down for Arsenal... The ball goes to Saka.
It's very weird for a player the only player I think I've ever seen Arsenal change the game so young. Two players actually, Sami Nasri and Fabregas.
Fabregas, yep.
But they're given the ball and he just changes the game. He has the ability to just change the game. He did it against Newcastle. He just turned the game.
And the reason I call him ISO Joe is because he's nothing flashy, but he's very effective.
Very effective. I don't think Greenwood can do that. Greenwood is a very good finisher. Greenwood is very direct.
He would impact the game in terms of goals, but I don't think he can change the game the way Saka can.
And I think in the coming years, people will start to see that. I think so. I think if you put Saka in an Everton team, put Saka in the Crystal Palace team, I think Saka will still play well.
I agree with you.
I don't think.
And quickly before we end the show, let's talk about Real Madrid. Vinicius Junior has been on one this season, though.
He
was always a player, but he's added end product to his game. He's scoring every week. Did you see the goal he scored the other day? It was ridiculous, bro. It was like a 20-30 yard effort. It was ridiculous from him.
They're leaving Barcelona behind, aren't they?
Who cares about us? I'm so happy Barcelona are getting down and out, bro. Honestly, even though they won on the weekend, I think they won 1-0, sorry. Or 3-1, one of them.
3-1.
I'm so happy Barcelona are just dead team right now. Come back, Arsenal. Put your money up.
For you?
Those guys they embarrassed me so much growing up. I'm like, I need Javi. To play these guys.
I want to see what Javi's going to do.
You know what? That's why I don't feel bad for Barcelona at this moment. because they've done, they've embarrassed so many teams.
Bro,
and at this point in time, they take
embarrassed Arsenal so much. I'm so happy they're down and out right now.
They're taking a bit of their medicine. Where are they in the league?
I think they were ninth position last time I checked.
Something. They're about 6 or 7. They're finding it really difficult. I don't think Xavi took the job at the worst possible time. If I was a coach, that's a job I want to stay away from.
Xavi taking the job, first of all, it's kind of like Ole taking the job to me, except I think Xavi is a better coach than Ole. Second of all, they're going to give him time. He won't be sacked. It's Xavi.
It's a very terrible
and time. He will buy quality players.
Like, exactly. It's part of the rebuilding process. That's just what I think it is.
They need to give him a lot of time because that team... It's not good enough.
The squad on paper alone is disgusting.
And then the thing is just actions have consequences. Barcelona are paying for their actions right now. You look at every single thing they've done with money over this. I mean,
they single-handedly messed up the whole transfer market.
They used their hand to spoil their destiny. They messed
up the whole transfer market. It's Barcelona's fault. I don't even blame PSG anymore. I blame Barcelona single-handedly.
Yep.
PSG, at least they used the players they had. They bought for that
Barcelona money. Bought Paulinho for 45 million, bro, and then sold him the next season.
They bought Usman Dembele for 110.
And Vidal
for how much million?
They got Coutinho for 145. Roma. They just spent money so terribly. It's ridiculous. They bought Griezmann for over 100. You know, they bought three players in the space of 2 seasons for over 100 million pounds.
And taking the season they signed Griezmann, they're also willing to pay over 100 million for Neymar as well.
It's crazy. And now they're doing.
They're basically having to let everybody go for
these
free.
These players we're mentioning are on huge wages.
Did you see how much Messi was making in Barcelona? I don't even want to get into it.
They're monster wages. So it's not like they just signed these players and they were little wages. They signed these players and they put them on monster wages. I'm pretty sure Griezmann was earning over £500 a week. You know, monster salaries. 100k a week, sorry. Monster salary these players is on.
Yeah. The Barcelona board is paying for their crimes right now. They've sinned a lot against football.
crimes against football. They're football Nazis.
They're paying for it.
You think they're going to get Sterling for less than...
I don't think Sterling is going to go to Barcelona. Sterling should rather go to Arsenal than he goes to Barcelona.
Sterling's not going to Arsenal.
I feel he will go to Barcelona because number one, he's going to get way more.
Why on God's green earth should Raheem Sterling leave Man City for Barcelona?
He'd have lost his mind.
Why did Sterling leave Man City for Bayern?
Because it's Bayern Munich. What?
He left because he wasn't getting enough time.
If Sterling was going to go to Bayern, I think you'd have been happy. Like, yeah, I'll take that.
I'll take that. It's not all about playing time. Like, Sterling is not going to win anything in Barcelona.
You're going to a team where you're going to suffer for a very long time.
And the thing is, if Sterling comes to Arsenal,
Sterling
is not going to Arsenal.
He's perfect for the rebuild. Honestly, Sterling.
He would have absolutely lost his mind if he goes to Arsenal.
He could be our Alexis Sanchez, bro. Think about it.
I would ask him what Jamaican weed is like if he goes to Arsenal.
No, Sterling would get playing time and he can make 20 mistakes and would always forgive him.
You get playing time at Barcelona as well.
Yeah, but he's going to... Like, Arsenal are in a higher stage of their rebuild than Barcelona are. A way higher stage.
Yeah, but the name's still there for a bit.
I don't think the name is there. I've been saying this for about 6 months
now. The name is still there.
I've been saying this for about 6 months. The name is there for Madrid, but for Barcelona, I think the major attraction for Barcelona was I get to play with Lionel Messi. It's not there anymore.
That's true.
Yeah. That was a huge attraction.
We can go on for hours and hours. You can tell, you know, these are three guys who just love football, but unfortunately, we have come to the end of this, you know, recording. It's been really fun. You know, I've enjoyed hearing you guys' opinions. Chibichi, don't ever bring up that I was a Chelsea fan again. But, you know, guys, let me explain myself. It was for 3 months. And it was just for 3 months.
Three months is a long time.
Never became a Chelsea fan. Crouch scored a hat trick against Arsenal. And I didn't know ball that time. And I'm thinking to myself, how the hell does Peter Crouch score a hat trick against a football club?
I remember that as well. Was it 4-1? It was 4-1, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I was like
2007.
Yeah. And I'm like, nah, I'm a Chelsea fan. But then, you know, my dad counter attacked me, took me to the Emirates. And I ended up, as an Arsenal fan again. But it's been nice having you on the show, Chirichi. Thank you for coming. Thank you for sparing time. Obviously. Chris, as well. I know it was very last minute with you as well, but thank you for sparing time for us. You know, definitely love to have you back sometime. As usual, I've been Feyi, the voice of reason, the voice of truth. I speak the truth, only the truth, and nothing but the truth. I really hope you guys enjoyed listening to this one. Make sure you check us out on Instagram, Twitter, subscribe on Apple Podcasts and all the podcast streaming platforms. And yeah, thank you. We out.